You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, we are now finishing part six of our Follow the Call series. Believe it or not, we've been on the same theme for 5 weeks now, 6 weeks, and I'm privileged to be able to wrap it up. Hope that you enjoyed this series. We came from this series is based on an understanding of the three relationships of Jesus himself. Jesus, when we think of Jesus, he had a relationship with the Father, he had a relationship with his disciples, and then he had a relationship with the world. We like to say it this way. There was up, he had a relationship up to the Father, into his disciples or community, and out. And in the same way, if we want to be followers of Jesus, which that's why we're here, then we want to also model those three relationships in our lives. Up to God, into God's people, and then out to the world around us. And so that's how we have looked at this. Now, last week, we've had two messages on each of these themes, up, in, and out. And last week, we did our first one on talking about the out part of the triangle. And we talked about living in. For those of you who were here last week, we talked about what it really means to be a part of your neighborhood. A starting point of just answering the question, who is my neighbor? You know, sometimes we'll just say, well, my neighbor is the person I like, and I'll drive across town and go visit them. But we looked at the actual meaning of neighbor, and it actually means near dweller. And so the people who are near to you, dwelling near to you, and maybe it might be in your condo or your neighborhood. For some of your students, it might be the people who you sit together in your class. You know, do you know the people around you who each day in your program are there? And so the first part of really, if we want to reach out to the world around us, we have to know the people around us. And so we gave an encouragement to you in that realm. But what if we are connected into those around us? Once that's living in, then what are we supposed to do next? And that is, we're called to lift up. And that's the title of the message today, is lifting up. Once we're connected into those around us, how are we to lift others up? And so I want to just pray as we open up God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word and your presence among us. And we ask even now that you would speak to each of our hearts, and God, that you would speak through me, and that people would hear your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin with a scripture from the book of Matthew, and this is what Jesus talked about, I believe, as he gave instruction, his famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. He gave us some instruction on really how do we live in that relationship with the world. And he said this in Matthew 5:13-16. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so we're going to look at this metaphor of being salt and being light. And we actually have the graphic that went out on our weekly email blast here. You see the salt shaker and the light bulb as a visual here. What does it really mean to be salt and light? After we've connected to people around us, how are we to, what does it mean? What is Jesus saying when he talks a bit about being salt and light? I've been thinking about this, and if you look into commentaries on this, a lot of times you'll see things like, well, salt's a preservative in ancient days, which it is, or something, you'll say that it's about the flavor. You know, you don't say that your salt is steaky, but the steak is salty. You know, it's like it's an addition to, it's not the main thing. But I, as I was reflecting on this verse, I couldn't help but zero in on the part where Jesus said, if the salt has lost its saltiness, it can't be fixed up and it can't be used for another purpose. He said it's going to be thrown out and trampled on by men. Another translation, another part of the Bible, he said it's going to go into the manure heap. So what is it about this salt that talks of a distinct purpose? I believe that God's telling us if we want to be valuable contributors to the world around us, we have to fulfill the distinction of our lives. If we try to be something else, we're not going to have that saltiness. We're not going to have, there isn't another thing that it can be used. Once that saltiness isn't salty, it can't be used for anything else. So salt, I believe, talks of a very distinct purpose. That when we go into the world, we're to be ourselves. We're to be distinct, not somebody else. God created you and me different. Very different. And even people you might say they're same from the same family line, and you know, maybe they're, you know, around the same height because of the genetics, or maybe, you know, the hair color, or things like that. There's similarities, but they end pretty quick. And we see the uniqueness. For parents, if you've had more than one child, you just can't help but understand that how different they are. How different they are. How many of you are parents, and you know, you might have more than one child. Maybe you are have siblings. How many here might have brothers and sisters, and you realize, you know, there's some things that are similar, but there's things that we're different. And there's something about a distinction that God made in each and every one of us. And I believe that to be salt in the world, we have to let that shine. Not just anything or be someone different. We have to let that uniqueness of who God has made us be the blessing. See, God made people to be the blessing in our society. He didn't just make things. The greatest thing that can lift another person is not a thing. It's another person. It's our life itself. And what does God say about our distinct purpose? In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, he said this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. This was the calling of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was one of the Old Testament prophets. He was the one who prophesied during the time of the exile when Israel was being taken away from their homeland and they were exiled into Babylon, when Babylon was the world's greatest empire. And Jeremiah was called to really do some amazing things at that time, to speak for God. But it was a very challenging time, because the things that God was telling Jeremiah to say, he was telling him to say things like, you're going to be 70 more years in Babylon. They didn't want to hear that. They did not want to hear that. They wanted to say, hey, I'm ready to go home now. Enough of this exile stuff. We want to get back, you know, where we can, you know, eat the good of, you know, the grapes and the olives, and have our life like we're used to back in Israel. This Babylon stuff is not for us. And God called Jeremiah into this. And you know what else was very interesting? Historians say that Jeremiah might have still been less than 20 years old. So there's no time where it says exactly, but there's just from the length of his life, the estimate was that when God first called him, he must have been very young. And so there's something about this forming in the womb, before I knew you, before you were born, I consecrated you. There's something very unique and very specific that God has for us. When we think of our thumbprint, they're each unique. I remember when we lived in the States, we had to get green cards. That's a permanent residence card. We lived 14, we're Canadian, but we lived 14 years in America. And I can remember getting the green card, and one of the ways that they could tell it was you and it was distinct, that you would have to go and you'd get your fingerprints. You know, it's the only time I got my fingerprint. I've never been in jail. So just but it was interesting to go through them when you see it on TV, you know, and the police are, you know, they have to go down to the police station and get real fingerprints. And why do they do that? It's because each fingerprint, each person is unique. And so it's an identifier. It's just a sign of this uniqueness. I was listening to a CBC program recently on the radio. I love CBC. I love those interesting shows. I love CBC comedy, too, if you listen to any of the satires. But there was one particular show, and they had a guest on. And this guest was talking about don't follow your dreams. He was saying, don't follow your dreams. And it caught my attention. You know, everybody, you know, you see these celebrities, you know, I just never gave up. You know, I just, it's the Oscars tonight. And, you know, I just, you know, was living, you know, on mac and cheese and rice and beans. But then I finally made it, you know, as a musician or an actor. And I just never lost following my dreams. And I want to tell you, never lose following your dream. And, you know, it's always the same, right? And then this program is saying, don't follow your dreams. But then the guest began to explain why he was saying, don't follow your dreams. And he was saying, because in our society, we have limited the number of things that we're allowed to dream for now. And so a lot of times when people follow their dream, they're actually not connecting with God or really reflecting about their uniqueness. They're kind of seeing maybe five or six things that our society are put up as greatness, and then they're picking one of those five or six themes. And what this guest on the CBC program was saying is that you're not going to make it. The chances are. And then people began to phone in and they said, you know, I saw, you know, Katy Perry or whoever it was up there following your dream. So, you know, I quit my job. You know, I had a degree in engineering, but I didn't like it. And I went back and I got a master's degree in music and then this and that. And I sold everything and bought guitars and everything else. And guess what? I can't even get a job as a music teacher. And they were talking about all these people who went back to school to get master's degrees and this and that to follow their quote unquote dream. And all they had is a big debt. What was wrong with this? And what the guy was saying, what the guest was saying, it's because there's been a limitation in our society of what is a worthwhile dream. What is a worthwhile dream? But there's in God's economy, there's an infinite number of dreams for every single person. For every single person, there's a unique dream. There's not a limitation. And so you have an absolute guaranteed ability when you find and you begin to discover who God made you, you can actually fulfill that dream. You can fulfill that dream. You may not be able to fulfill any dream. Our society is what's called a winner-take-all society. How many use Netscape as their search engine? How about an AOL? How many people use Google? what's happening? We're in a society now that's called winner-take-all. And that's okay in one sense, because sometimes there's an efficiency that comes. But we have to be careful, because that mindset can take away the individuality that God has put within us. And so God called Jeremiah here. And Jeremiah, he said, I'm formed you in the womb. And do you know what Jeremiah's response is? Let's look at it in Jeremiah 1:6. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I am only a youth. In other words, I can't do this. I'm too young. And so what did the Lord say? Jeremiah 1:7-8. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a youth, for to whom all I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You know what the response is when we really start to hear God and the uniqueness of our calling? We usually have an excuse. In this case, it's like, I'm too young. I know for me, doing what I do, I know when I quit my job as an optician and I became a pastor and we started the first church that we pioneered in Calgary, U Church. It's part of our Every Nation families. And I can remember just feeling so insecure. We only had two small children. I can remember when people, you know, with say teenager kids were come and join the church. I felt so insecure. I was like, I'm too young. I'm too young. I'm too young. All I could think, I'm just too young. I'm too young. I wouldn't know what to say, about teenage issues. I'm too young. We just got, a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I can't do this. I'm too young. 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 And then I can remember one night I woke up and this voice came to me. You're too old. You're too old. You're too old. You're too old. I mean, I must have been the right age sometime when I slept somewhere. I don't know what age it's probably between like 11 p.m. and about, you know, 7 a.m. I was that. You see, there's always something in our head. There's always this voice that's challenging what God wants to do in our lives. And we have to resist it. When Jeremiah said, I'm too young, God says, you're not too young. If I've called you, you can do it. What's your excuse? Lack of talent? Lack of education? Lack of power? Lack of strength? Lack of a noble family background? Well, what did Paul tell the Corinthians? Let's look at this in the New Testament now. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 29. For consider your calling. Brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God loves taking people who feel inadequate, who feel like they're too young, too old, you know, not smart enough, too smart, not enough degrees, too many degrees. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I get to one person and I'll tell them, why don't you pursue this dream? Well, I don't have my bachelor's degree. Okay, well, get your bachelor's. Okay, they get that. And then they get it, you know, and then they get a master's. And then I talk to them and said, why don't you go for that? He goes, well, I think I'm overqualified. Ah! What is it about us that has difficulty just going for it? Just saying, yes, Lord, this is a desire of my heart. I believe you put that desire in there. I'm going to go for it. No matter what, I'm going for it. And you know what? God loves that. He loves to take the unlikely people, and he loves to allow the callings and the gifts and the unique talents that are in each one of us and allow them to affect the world around us. All that God asks us to do is to be faithful. Be faithful with what we have. That's all God asks. He doesn't care your background. He doesn't care your educational level. He doesn't care any of that. He just says, you just be faithful with what I've given you, and I'll use you. And you'll be salt. You'll be distinct. And you will be a blessing to the world around you. One more thing about your calling. If you think that you have buried what God has given you, and you perhaps think it's too late, take courage. Because Romans 11:29 says this, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. We might have them sitting on the shelf 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever. You think, oh, God's going to, you know, he's going to take that. He's going to like take that away from me. It's just going to be gone. Uh-uh. The gifts and callings on our lives, we can dust them off at any time. They're irrevocable. I like what it says in the Message version. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the scripture. He says this, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. Isn't that good? Just elaborating on the scripture. So the first thing God calls us to is to be salt, is to be distinct, is to, if we want to lift up the world around us, what do we have to do? Again, just by way of review, the first thing we have to do is connect and live in the world. If we don't know anybody, we're not going to be able to influence them. So it's about getting to know our neighbors and getting to know those around us and being friendly and making those connections. And then the first way we can lift up is just as we use the gifts and the talents and our presence, not just gifts. We are the present. God doesn't send paper. He sends people. We are the salt and the light, our lives itself. And as we bless people with who we are, it becomes salty. It becomes salt. It becomes a good work. It makes an impact. And so you don't have to be like anybody else. The way that you're going to influence people around you is different than the way I'm going to influence people around you. you know, for some of you, you know, things like notes and, you know, you get to know somebody and maybe you're a witty writer or, you know, there's something where you can write poem or you can write encouragements. And when you do that, you know, it lifts people. Other people, it's by a very physical thing where you build them something or buy them something. Or for some people, it's just time. You know, you're just spending time with another person and they can sense that you're that type of person that just loves to reach out with time. You know, there's so many different ways that we can express who we are and make an impact in the lives of others. But the other part of the metaphor that Jesus said is salt and what? Light. You know, we saw the salt shaker and the light bulb. Remember that? That's what we're talking about today. What about the light? What is light? Light, I was thinking about this. Light is illumination. Light illumines a room. If this room was dark and we walked in, we wouldn't necessarily be able to change the whole atmosphere or change the configuration of things. But when the light comes on, it illumines the situation. And God calls us to illumine the situation, to bring light into what's already there. You see, as people who believe in God, there is a worldview that we believe, that I believe is the right worldview and can help to make sense out of the world. We've shared this many, many times. When we talk about the story of God, or a way of, in a sense, summarizing all of God's word and the teaching of the scriptures, you know, if we were to summarize it into just four chapters, you've heard this before here, we would come up with these four things: creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. We're to shine the light of that reality into all situations. You see, sometimes we're bringing to bear, and this is more of a verbal witness to others. The first one being salty, sometimes it's more of acts of kindness. It may be out of your giftings, but this being light and illumination, sometimes it's really our conversation with others. See, sometimes we're connecting with people in the area of creation. What do I mean by creation? How did God create the world? Think with me. He created it perfect. He created it good. And each person is God's child. Do you realize that? We got to really understand that. That when Jesus spoke this, you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world, he was speaking to everybody, because God the Father came in the form of Jesus the Son for all of his children. For all of his children. There isn't a person that you will lock eyes with this week that isn't a child of God, that God didn't make, that God doesn't love. God doesn't make, no matter how a person came into being, maybe a person feels, you know, I was born illegitimately, or I was born an unwanted child, or maybe I was given up for adoption, or whatever. It doesn't matter how a person comes into this world, that's a child of God. And when we lock eyes with that person, we are to connect and we're to say that you are of good origin. You see, when God made the world, what are the messages of creation? The messages of creation are that God made the world good. And you are of good origin. And I am of good origin. And every person living in the city of Toronto is of good origin. And God made them good, and he put gifts and talents in each and every person. See, as a believer, a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're trying to find the image of Christ in a person. But if they haven't met Christ, they're not going to have the image of Christ, but they will have the image of God. They will have the innate image of God, the gifts and callings that every person has been given to. And do you know what we can do? We can encourage people. I do this all the time. When I see a person who, you know, just has a certain area where they're just very excited about, you can see their enthusiasm, whatever that is, I'm always encouraging them. I go, you're really good at that. You love to do that, don't you? They go, yeah, I do. I remember one of my friends, you know, he just loves to create things. He loves to create screenplays and things like that. And I said to him, you just can't help doing that, can you? He goes, no, I can't. I said, I see that in you. You're so creative. You can't stop creating, can you? No, I can't. I said, why do you think that is? He said, I don't know. I said, can I tell you why that is? He goes, well, yeah, sure. I said, because God made you creative. God made you creative. And it's a good thing. He put a good thing in you, and you can't help but create. And I encourage that gift that was given in them. But you know, sometimes life, we experience the fall. We experience evil. Sometimes something very horrific happens. You know, this week, a little boy, did you hear about this in Toronto? A little boy, 3 years old, wandered out in the middle of the night. He put his boots on, just had a diaper and a t-shirt, and wandered out of his house in this bitter cold weather, and he was found dead the next morning, frozen to death. How sad. What do we say to a parent? What do we say to a parent? There is no answer to that. There is no other than this. Do you know what? We live in a fallen world. Why do some of our marriages end in divorce? Why do some sicknesses that we even pray for, they don't get healed? Why do untimely deaths happen? Because our worldview says that, you know what? Something went really wrong with this world. It's called sin. It's called the fall. It's called evil. And it's really bad. And it affects all of us at one time or another. All of us have been affected by evil. And here's a hard one to take, but we have to understand it. And that is, and we affect evil on others. When we say an unkind word, when we have those things, we're not only affected by evil, we're propagators of evil. That's why we need to keep coming back to say, God, please forgive me. Because we're not exempt from sin. We're not exempt from the chapter 2 story of the fall and evil. But you know, the beautiful thing about it is when you're in Christ, you know you're forgiven. And you can say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry for being a propagator of evil. I'm sorry for those unkind words. Sorry for those attitudes. But we can shine the light of not only creation, shine the light of the fall. But I like this one, shining the light of redemption. That it doesn't matter how dark a story goes, how dark a situation is, we can speak the redemption chapter, reality. You know, even though that things were dark, can you see some good things in it? I encourage people, you know, that was a dark season in your life. But where is something redemptive in it? Where is something good? Where is something in that that you can see how maybe it was bad, but maybe there was something redemptive, and you can hang on and you can help people hang on to the redemptive part of God. And of course, more clearly, we can talk about when opportunity comes, we can talk about how we can really let the redemption of God through Jesus Christ mark our life and change our lives. And then finally, restoration or the eternal hope. And you know, the eternal hope of the Bible isn't just that we're going to float up to heaven and fly, you kind of flutter around with, like, you know, the European images of, you know, fat babies flying around and things. Like, I love the art. So any of you who are artists, I love the art. But that isn't what the Bible talks about heaven. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. That just like we had creation, we're going to have restoration, where the king reigns, where there's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything's made right again. The hope is not that we're just going to be disembodied spirits floating around. That's actually a Greek thought that got layered into Christianity. The true Hebrew understanding is that this world will be made right again. And we will enter into it, and we will enjoy all the things that God wanted to have. So some musicians, and I don't have the quote, but if you've ever experienced a time in music where it just seemed to be transcendent, there was just a moment, maybe at a concert or maybe at a, where you just felt something that it was just, wow, this is almost divine. You know what you're feeling and sensing in that? It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a foretaste of the type of music that we're going to always experience. It's a foretaste of the good. Or maybe you taste this food and you think, ooh, this is just, you might even say it's just heavenly. It's so good. It's a foretaste of a new heaven and a new earth where it's all going to be like that. Music will always be that. Our food will always be that. When we have that time of relationship where we're really connecting well with one another and there's just something beautiful about it, or maybe on a sports team where it's like transcendent, where something happens in a moment in a play and you're like, oh, it was just so great. These are foretastes of restoration. And in our interaction with our world, we're to bring to bear this illumination. This simple story will illumine the world around us. You know, we don't have to start by, trying to take our Bible and, at our church we do Bible reading every, that's just not a starting place. But a starting place is letting your gift bring to bear good works upon the world around you. And then secondly, letting the light of the creation fall, redemption, recreation story have an effect and have an understanding of how you make sense of the world and how you explain world. Now, I have a warning. Beware. God will work these truths in you as he shines the light through you. You see, when it comes to that time of evil, when it comes to that time of disappointment, when you're experiencing the fall in your life, you're going to have to process this with this gospel story. In your own life, you have to, for this to be good news and to work for others, it has to work for you. It has to work for me. And so God will help us, but he's going to work these truths in you. We're going to have to, in our own lives, when we feel like things are so bad, we're going to have to say, but what is the redemptive thread here? And we're going to have to reach out in faith in our own lives and say, that might have been a dark moment, but I can see God's redemption. I can see his hand in this. I can still see how he preserved me. I can still see the good in that. So God is going to work these things in us as he lets the light shine through us. That's lifting up. I want to recap now our six-part series. And I made this little chart. We had six sermons. And if you missed any of them, you can go online. You can listen to them. We have sermon previews and then the actual audio for each one of our messages. And so when we had two sermons on up, two on in, and two and out. Our first two were up, and it's talking about our relationship with God. And our two sermons were knowing God and hearing God. And then for each one of these, we had an action that we would like each of you to be a part of. And so for our up, which is really enhancing our relationship with God, we're asking everybody to read the Bible this year more than you've ever read. For some of you, I know that you've already taken on the challenge to read through the whole Bible in a year. Fantastic. For some of you, you're going to do a starter version, whatever. But we're just encouraging everybody to do that. Our second two messages were talking about a relationship with God's people. How do we connect and really be a part of God's family in a greater way? And we had two messages, Better Together, and then we talked about the One Another's, both great messages. And it talks about enhancing our relationship with God's people. And we gave an action point. You remember the action point? We had 3x5 cards, and we said that when you get the weekly email blast on Thursday, we asked that when you get that, even if you don't open it and read it, that's okay. I mean, we put a lot of work into it, but if you try to read it, but if you're too busy, but when that email comes through, what we're asking everyone to do is once a week, say a quick prayer for your church. Okay. So that's the action. So, and if you haven't got on the email list yet, please, fill out a connection card and we'll get you on the email, list. I know most everybody is on it now and we're excited about that. And then finally, for an action point, our last two messages about living in our world and then lifting up our world, our action point is we're encouraging you to get to know your neighbors, your classmates, your workmate better than you ever have in 2015. And we had a great message on who is my neighbor and all the excuses that we make so that we can just hang out whoever we want to hang out with and never really reach out to those around us. And our action point was to fill out, Mercedes, can we have one of those? To fill out one of these papers. And it basically has your house, and then around it, it's you can get to know your neighbors, get to know their name. I mean, I think it'd be great to put it on the fridge. I was even thinking of maybe canvassing our neighborhood and just say, hey, why don't we all get to know one another here and just create some leadership within our neighborhood. Put it on my fridge and encourage everybody in my neighborhood to put it on their fridge. And hey, let's be a community on the street that we live in. So ushers have those on your way out. If you didn't get one from last week and you'd like to begin to take on the challenge of getting to know your neighbors, then that can be your action point. That's it. Follow the call up, in, out. I hope you enjoyed this series. Let's pray and ask God to apply this word to our hearts. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And he was the one who did this perfectly. And I'm so thankful that when we talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with God's people, and our relationship with the world, that you've already done it. You have done it. You have gone before us, Jesus. You have made that mark. You have led the way. And anything we do is just following in your wake. And this isn't a heavy, this isn't a have to, this is a get to, because you've already been the perfect neighbor. You're the one who got to know those around you. You even came down to those who didn't know you, came to from heaven to earth. And so I thank you, God, that our work is not trying to work something up, but simply resting, God, in what you have already done. And I thank you, God, for what you've done in this time. And I pray that you'd continue to speak to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to go deeper with you, to know you better, to be a better neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.